Welcome everyone to VR Jungle, a Havoc podcast. This is episode 51. We skipped last week. I had a whole bunch of stuff going on, and we're taking a little bit of a break just to make a kind of like a weird switch, I guess. You know, I did the Halloween episode with Mr. Cuss right here, and we got to talking. He's also, you know, a player that plays for Havoc as well, and for the Pavlov team, and we're just like, hey, we get along. And he's like, you want to do this like always now? And I'm just like, yeah, let's freaking do it. And so as of now, you know, this is VR Jungle's new co-host, Cuss. So welcome to the VR Jungle family. Hopefully we get to make some wonderful podcasts together. And so the people that didn't get to see the last episode, go ahead, freely talk about yourself and what you plan on making this podcast better, you know, let us know.
I can't say I don't for certain that I know I'll make it better, but I hope to bring new experiences, different outlooks, because, you know, I come for a wide variety of things I've done, both career-wise and like just having fun, you know. Mm-hmm. I've done a lot of cool stuff, honestly. I hope to bring, of course, to the table my teams. I want to call out my teams and stuff. My Vail team, you know, we're getting together. And then, of course, we're doing pretty good in the standings for VREL for my Pavlov team.
Yeah,
we're doing good.
Yeah, so I've seen your guys' team. I've seen that you all play. You all do really well. And then, so you have your Pavlov, and then you said you're also working on Vail, right? Is that what you just said?
Yeah.
And so, right now for Vail, what's going on with them now that they just finished their tournament? Like, what's their next steps? Do you know?
A little. Right now, they're trying to build their game more. That way, you know, if they do another tournament, they don't want the same game. They're going to want more maps. So, from what I understand, they're working on content for a big content update, if I remember correctly, because, you know, right now we have three maps that were used, but I'm excited. You know, this Vail is very exciting. I hope to play more of it, of course.
Yeah.
I want the patches to come out for like quality updates. Cause right now quality of life is great. It's mm-hmm. pretty good. Mm-hmm. But I could see it getting better. Like it's at those positions. I'm ready for it. they're just working on it, you know.
Yeah, and so like, in your personal opinion, like, what do you think would be the most thing? Like, what's the thing they need to focus on that actually, in your eyes, be a finished product?
I feel like the gunplay is a little clunky. Actually, I don't feel it's natural, but it's clunky. It's a weird thing. When you shoot the rifles, it's constant bounce mm-hmm. instead of like, if I were to shoot a gun in real life, it is constant bounce in the same direction, but it's all vertical when a lot of recoil is usually up to the left, you know, mm-hmm. or up to the right, something weird where the gun, it's usually the gun's weight actually pushes it in a certain direction. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like it needs to have it's not too much of a recoil change. It would be probably just a change in one digit, you know.
Yeah.
So I think a recoil change would be nice, and I feel like it needs dynamic sound, because right now all the rifles sound the same shooting in different environments. So like if you're shooting in a container, I feel like you should be, you know, a muffled sound, or like a projected sound, you know, because you have those four walls holding in some of the sound. So I feel like that needs to change. I like the player models. The player models look great to fight against. I like the outline. It mm-hmm. does help looking at the enemies, because sometimes, you know,
they didn't have that at first.
Yeah, it is a different change to me, because like when you see enemies, you really don't think, oh, they're going to have an outline. Mm-hmm. So it is nice having that little booster, like, of, oh shit, that's a that's somebody I'm shooting at. You
exactly,
know?
Yeah.
I changed mine to purple, so because like it's my favorite color.
You can change, so it's just not red or blue. It's just
it's dynamic. You can change the colors to. I think there's a preset color though, so you can't like RGB it, but you can change to most colors on the rainbow. Yeah. So I mean, mine's purple because it's a nice outline for white and black.
Yeah.
That's my favorite though.
Yeah. No, I like a lot of things purple. So yeah, I mean, I haven't really heard too much about a new, you know, obviously they had their tournament and stuff, and but it's just like, once their tournament is done, it's like it's just back into, like, you know, in a closet. It's just like, yeah, the people that are playing it are playing it, but it won't, you know, it won't be really talked about until they have another thing where they're like, all right, let's do a 200 freaking person team tournament for another $35,000, and it's just like, the one thing that kind of blows my mind is that there was no momentum. You know, they built momentum and then they just
stopped.
Why would they not continue the momentum? And it's just like, why not? Like, okay, we just had this league, we just had this tournament. Now let's go ahead and grab the people that we already played. We want consistent players. We want playability. We want people's constant feedback. Let's go ahead and say, all right, this tournament. Now let's have a league. It's like, let's instantly turn it, but then we'll run it on our end.
Welcome back.
Jeez, Moise, I'm just hitting hard right now. I've told you, I'm about to throw my internet away right now. It's so freaking bad. It's been so spiky. But anyways, did you hear what I said though?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. They led up to this giant thing, and then they had the tournament, and now it's dead. Like the people are playing still. It's just not as wanted, I guess. Like it's. Everybody likes it because of the money, and then it kind of just stops.
Yeah.
There's no money anymore in it. And, you know, I mean, people are right for that to a degree because, you know, people want to play for either enjoyment or money, to be honest. It's like a job, you know? You're either there for enjoyment or you're there for money.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, the sad thing is a lot of competitors, like, they know they're good at VR and they just money hunt. That's all they do is they constantly just go for that money hunt. You know, that's what it's going to be. We'll see how it goes. You know, we'll just have to wait another year to see the momentum built up on this, if they're going to expand on it to make it bigger. But it's like right now with the huge momentum dump they just like kind of put back down, I just feel like they're going to be at square one again, right when they try to do another tournament.
I completely understand because I'm in that kind of boat too. Like even building my Veil team, I'm kind of like, there's not much traction, you know, there's not
a want for people to
be there to, you know, actually play other than like maybe a 10%, I would say 20-30%.
Yeah.
Because if there was more people, there'd be more lobbies in the game right now, but you can go in game, you find probably 5-6 lobbies and there's a 10 or 12
a piece. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, there's not many people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm, who knows? I mean, how it goes right now. In my opinion, I still think they're probably one of the leading PC VR games out there.
I think they're the most exposed out of all PC VR. That's the only thing I think they have over most of the VR games is, you know, what was the one game with the undead we talked about the other day, the other podcast?
The Walking Dead one.
Walking Dead, yes, thank you. The Walking Dead only had traction because it had, you know, separate series that, you know, led into the story. Like, it was trying to build it as a story game. And, you know, I think that's the only reason why that one was kind of mostly publicized.
Yeah.
Of course, Meta is, of course, pushing out their VR titles, but that's because Meta has enough money to just, look, I have this, you know? Meanwhile, most VR titles, like Pavlov, Contractors, you know, the really good shooters right now, they don't really have as much exposure. There's YouTubers, but there's no TV or news, or, you know, everybody's just on the Meta right now, pretty much.
Yeah, and it doesn't help that, you know, I know that a lot of the people that are content creators in VR, you know, if you give them a story, they have to run with it. I mean, that's just part of journalism, that it's like, no matter what, if it's good news or bad news or how much you really love VR, you can't be biased just because you want VR to stick around. And so sometimes, you know, I do think that some of the people that I watch go a little bit hard when it comes to VR, when like when Zuckerberg makes a mistake or something, like they really bash on him. And I'm just like, at the end of the day, at least he's
got an idea. He hasn't presented it correctly.
Exactly. He has ideas, and you should be lucky that there's someone like him, as much as I think he's kind of, you know, a doof, you know, who might not be the right person for VR, but at least we have one person at least like him that's going out there and making mistakes, you know. He's making the mistakes for bigger companies to eventually come in and be like, let's not do what Zuckerberg did. You know, at the end of the day, will he probably become internet's biggest meme of VR failure? Probably, most likely.
I don't think so. I think, maybe not failure per se.
Yeah,
I think,
maybe that was wrong saying, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. I think that it has a profound effect to where it could help. I don't think it's, you know, an entire... as most people say... At least in some businesses, any publicity is good publicity because it's getting out there.
Exactly.
Because if somebody knows about it, oh man, maybe I should go research it. You know, like it's not a big issue entirely because like you're still getting your information out there. It may be wrong information, but that might get more people to go and fix it. You know,
But I mean, leading into the Zuckerberg thing, that was the one thing I actually found the article while you were talking about at the very beginning, is that, so this was 5 days ago, so it's not like anything new news that I'm about to drop. It is, so it says Meta lays off 11,000 workers as it faces competition from TikTok, which is like Pico Neo.
Oof.
11,000 employers. And I don't know if you heard about this, nor do I know if it's true, but there is a TikToker out there that he talked about the layoff. And this is all allegedly, and I'm not going to go, you know, say who it was either, because, you know, he could have been trolling TikTok as well. But he said that everyone in the end is, out of the 11,000 people that got let go, the HR person grabbed a meme of, I believe, Zuckerberg that says, hey, it's just time to go, and sent them meme, and basically that's how they got fired. That's how they got let go.
You know, that's fair. You know, like, I mean, that's kind of weird.
Yeah, it is. So, I mean, right there, it's just like they just had their Connect for this year. Yeah, it didn't really go the way people really planned. You know, nor did, but I think a lot of people that are in VR right now are a huge game enthusiast. They're not VR enthusiasts. And so when you don't have an ample amount of games and your future is more commercial than, you know, to people like us that play VR, you want bigger, you want military contracts, you want utility contracts, you want school contracts. You know, that's a way that they're going to make money in the long run. One year they went that route.
I can tell you from experience, the military already has a VR contract.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of cool. I'm not going to lie. So my experience with it, I can't say a little too much, but because I obviously don't know what I can tell. But they have VR like experiences to where you're not technically in combat, but you're in training for... different types of things where you can go from anti-drone warfare to, you know, like there's so many cool different programs they have right now that it's not entirely utilized because of the equipment that's necessary.
Yeah,
but it is used, but it's not something that the government really wants at the moment. So I mean,
do you think we'll ever get to like some Ender's Game type stuff?
I think that there already is, because as much as people don't expect our current society to, you know, move on to bigger and better things where we're mostly having like AI generated images, like that's the big thing right now on TikTok.
Oh,
on,
dude, it's
on
huge.
Everything.
It's huge.
Everything. Well, you got to expect, like, if there's
images, paintings, beautiful paintings coming out of AI generation, what's there not to say that there's not already war generation? There's already, there's probably a advanced AI that learns upon battles of, you know, the current, unfortunately, the current war effort in Russia and Ukraine, yeah. You know, they're probably studying that, or there's already been an outcome that's been thought of. And whether the, you know, the people like it or not, they're not going to tell the public because, you know, secret yeah. school stuff.
Oh, yeah. And like you said, like, who really knows? And I don't, like, a lot of people that don't know, because you are active in the military now, correct?
I've deployed once, but I'm mostly reserves.
Reserves?
I'll be 6 years in May in the reserves.
Awesome.
I've spent more than a year in active duty.
Person that I've actually brought into Havoc that was either ex-military, active, you know, or reserves for the military that I've actually yeah. made captains of my team because you guys are, you know, that's what you are literally going to service for, is to learn
half
how to
hour,
be leaders,
yeah.
you
know, a half hour job yeah
yeah is to be leaders, because, you know, technically you're not civilians, you are leaders to the community. And so like the other one was Contra. He was really good at
also on the Veil team.
Yeah, he's also on the Veil team, so you've met him before. Yeah. And so you could see, like, you know, what kind of person he is. He's very straight-laced, and he's very active into the military. And so, like, he ran my
I know what I know you're talking about a team. Let's see if I can pull up his DMs.
About Hold the up. Team that he ran?
Yeah, yeah.
He ran my the one that's... Why can I not freaking remember it? It's the one with the multiple characters. It's a hero shooter.
God, what is it called? It's like, oh, no. This
Larsenauts.
Is Larsenauts, thank you. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I was looking it up.
So, yeah, he was the captain from our Larsenauts team. And we had literally, when Larsenauts was, we were, you know, thought was going to be big. We had the number one team at the time. And we were we were unbeatable in a match and in full games. So, we were a powerhouse. And so it's really cool that to bring people in your type of you know, lifestyle to actually get their opinions on stuff, because it's nothing compared to what I have. You know, I'm sitting at a boring desk job every day and designing stuff. But so
I mean, there's always new experiences. You can always go to the range and shoot some cool guns. Let me tell you.
Oh, I you know, I'm from the country. You know, I grew up with guns all my life, and so. Let me just say, we've had our fair share of fun with Tannerite, so.
Yes. I actually just went and bought a pistol the other day. I now own a firearm again.
Nice.
I sold my old ones.
Nice. What'd you get? Are you allowed to say?
It's a Smith & Wesson 45, super compact.
Awesome. I recently just picked up a new one. I bought a Sig Sauer.
Hey, welcome, Hulk Smash. Yeah, SIG's hit or miss. I don't like their new pistol. The M17 is the military's designation, but it's the SIG P320.
Well, the P365, they remade it to the P365X, and they fixed the hammer on it, and it's
good. Good. Yeah, that's a scary pistol. Trust me. We actually had some scary stuff happen while I was at work one time.
Oh, really?
We had a discharge while the weapon was in safe.
Well, they have no safeties on them.
The military's version does.
Oh, you guys, really, your butt stock yes. has added one on the back end of it.
Yes.
Yeah.
So.
No, okay. You can buy those. It's but you like in order to buy that, you pretty much like get. You pretty much have to buy a new gun. You know, it's not as expensive as a new gun, but you have to take the whole butt out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. I think the military can strictly buy that though. I don't think that's a.
I can't strictly buy that because that's the retailer who I buy it through. Like, they say no.
Yeah.
Because you actually go through someone that has to literally, like, solder it in there, you know, like, pretty much take the steel and cut mm-hmm. the thing in there and actually give you the pin that actually grooves into the back just yeah. so the hammer doesn't pull back. But, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about with that. And, yeah, they're kind of weird. I mean, the Glock doesn't have a safety either, so... It has a finger
they
safety.
They have a trigger? Yeah, I was going to say, they have a trigger safety.
They
even
have
though,
trigger
you know.
Safety, but still, like, if you get your trigger stuck, you're going to shoot yourself in the
there's
leg.
Always, two safeties on a pistol if it has one. So you have two safeties, right? You have the thumb safety, which is the physical safety, and you have your finger. Your finger's a safety. As much as people don't call it a safety, it's a safety. As long as it's not in the trigger well, or if it's on, it's not like on the trigger, you're fine. Your gun's not going to go off unless it's a poorly designed weapon. And then, you know, you can't really.
Well, a lot of times when it comes to like people carrying, they're like always carry one in the chamber. And I'm just like, they just need to make one like they make.
If they have a safety, who cares?
Yeah,
if they
have a safety, who cares? Not, I do not have mine ever in my pocket. Like, I never would. Mm. The only time I would ever be comfortable is if I had a holster like the ones they have in a car, to where in order to unlatch it, you have to cock it and load it before you pull it out.
So let me give you a little bit of my experience level. I've shot weapons for 7-8 years now. It's no stranger to me. It's probably no stranger to you as well.
Mm-hmm.
My thing that I've always noticed, I'm not a firearms instructor that's trained, but I've run ranges. I'm an expert. I shoot very good on every qualification. I'm nothing like the SEAL teams. You know, I'm not that perfect, yeah. But, you know, I can hit my targets with no issues. My experience level, I've always learned that, you know, we have, you know, a lot of body mechanics where some things are just ingrained. Maybe that's something that just needs to be ingrained in you because, you know, for me, we have a triple retention holster. If you don't know what that is, it's got the hood. So like there's the hood. And then mm-hmm. there's the pistol. Mm-hmm. You push down the hood, and there's another lever here you have to hit to unlock the pistol.
Mm-hmm.
And then your thumb's already there on that lever, so you can just switch your safety. It's automatically ingrained in me now because of the new pistol change. I've used it for about a year now.
Yeah.
I know if that thing's coming out of the holster, I'm switching the safety off and I'm pointing my weapon. My finger is going to be on the trigger. Or, you know, adjacent to the trigger well, ready, you know, if I have my gun presented, you know. So, I mean, it's just, it might be something that you need, you know.
Yeah.
Body mechanics.
Oh, yeah.
Practice.
Oh, yeah. Like, talking about, like, body mechanics, and it's like, especially since they're getting ready to make the new movie of it, is for John Wick, where you want to talk about an actor that freaking went out to the range, like, religiously and learn true body mechanics on how to actually like know like this is muscle memory. Yes. And so they talk like he's talked about it, and like people have like watched him in the range and stuff, and it's just like what he learned just because it was an acting role, like he can actually use the skill that he learned in real life to be really, really a deadly person.
Yeah, some method actors, I mean, it works out for him, you know. I mean, guns and like weapons in general are kind of, you know, ingrained in you as soon as you learn them. You don't lose that skill. It's not like a bike where, you know, you might forget how to, you know, hold your steady.
Mm-hmm.
Weapons, it's pretty, you know, normal. You won't be as good, like you won't hit like perfect every time if you stop shooting.
Yeah,
depending on your like the person. But for me, like I shoot twice, three times a year.
Yeah.
To where I'm actually like I'm graded, you know. I'm graded three times a year on my weapons. 3 to 4 actually.
Yeah.
But I'm rated, you know, so I have to keep up my level of training. Like people, you really, it's not something you can forget. So he'll have it for life.
Mm-hmm.
Like even with I'm a black belt in Taekwondo, so I, you know, would train in sword forms and like it's kind of like a discipline, if you will. Like it's you're ingrained of how to swing a sword properly.
Uh-huh.
And so that stuck with me, you know. It's just something I know. It's weird, don't get me wrong, it's weird, but like I know it. Like I don't have the sword on me, but I could recite some of the, you know, how to unsheath a sword, sheath the sword, and you know, a couple of the slashes.
Oh, yeah, I mean, like, so, like, I did wrestling for a good portion of my life, and then I also did a little MMA when I got a little older.
Oh, yeah, my favorite sport.
But the thing is that, you know, you're sitting there, especially when you're going, like, how you said you have your black belt, and on your onward from it, you usually do, like, 1 to 2 moves, probably like maybe even a week, depends on how like actively you're really going into your training. Mm-hmm. I would say you're at least learning a mechanic a day.
I would say, so for me, my instructors that I had for Taekwondo, I was drilled the same thing for at least 3 months before mm-hmm. I was tested on it, and then we would move on to the next.
Yeah, but and so, what I'm saying, like, you probably did one mechanic that was that whole thing, though.
Yes, you do. Split it into like pieces, you know, but that's something.
It's like wax on, wax off shit. You don't know you're doing. You don't know you're doing exactly. multiple things, but once you put it all together, you got a whole move.
Oh yeah.
And so there's been times where like I've gotten into like some serious situations where it's like I'm froze. Unfreeze me. Oh my gosh.
Most certainly.
I was just frozen for a second. I got to figure out why I'm dropping frames like that. Holy cow. But anyways, like when I've like been in situations, like that comes out of the woodwork really quick.
When you're used to is like, I'm used to up fighting and ground fighting, but my favorite is ground fighting. So if I'm ever in like a situation where I'm, you know, like tensioned, I always blade whichever my dominant side, mm-hmm. ready for either a kick or a punch.
Yeah.
You know, that's just my thing. Like I'll blade slightly. It's kind of, it's a weird thing you notice, you know, in the heat of the moment or afterwards, you're like, oh shit. Yeah, I still have it. Like you're wrestling. So you either drop down low, getting ready to sweep somebody and smash them on the ground, or, you know, pick them up and throw them on your back, you know?
Yeah, and I've never been the person that one of those like throws him. I'm like, I usually like you can act to me first, and then I'll handle the situation. But it's just like I've never been the one that go first, because as soon as I've ever tried to lunge at somebody, I'm instantly in a headlock, and I'm just like, you're just screwed instantly. You instantly screwed yourself. And so like the only thing that you ever can do is when you're in a headlock is to literally pick them up and slam them, but you have a risk of knocking your own self out when you do that.
Yeah, so. I have a video of me out there somewhere of a tournament. I was put in a triangle choke by somebody of the same stature, and he had me pretty good. And I don't know if you know how to get out of a triangle choke specifically, but you squash them. You push them against the ground, and you pull your arm towards you, pushing them against the ground with their neck on the ground like scrunch.
Mm-hmm.
It is a very uncomfortable feeling, may I add. So, like, I know exactly what you're talking about. If you get caught in a headlock, you're donezo.
Yeah.
There's not much you can do if you're stuck.
Tuck
on the ground.
Your chin and hope they don't break your jaw. Pretty much is all I know, you know. Have you ever noticed with your training that you've got from the military that like anything besides mentally or physically that has improved your VR skills that you don't think that if you didn't go the route you had that you could still be a true great gamer and still have the same VR knowledge, you know?
So it's hard, actually. Even with the VR stock, it's hard to pinpoint where your aim's going to be. So in shooting, I'm sure you know, it's talking to the choir at this point.
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain way you hold your rifle where you hit the same each time. It's hard in VR because there's no... I wrap my left hand with my sling, with my M4. And I hold the foregrip in a C grip. And I have my pistol grip, you know, as in a pistol, pulled into my shoulder. And I have my face half back on the buttstock with a cheek weld.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't matter what position I'm standing in. As long as I have my hand holds how I have them, I will hit the same each time. It does not matter.
Yeah.
If I miss, that's purely because I didn't aim correctly.
Mm-hmm.
But the shot goes where my body holds it. VR, it doesn't work like that because
mm-hmm.
There's no anchors. You can't anchor your arms. You can't specifically hold a rifle the same way each time. It's all variables of how slight your controllers are off to the left or the right. And so it's hard for me, actually, like to play VR shooters because, you know, I'm used to the same thing each time and I'm raising my rifle and I'm mm-hmm. used to, you know, hitting exactly where my eye looks, even if it's in the wrong spot. And so, like, when you have this a certain amount of training, you just you lose some of the in-depth, like, being in the game, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And I definitely know what you mean, especially using gun stocks, because, you know, there's so many different gun stocks out there now that there might be a game that people went out of their way and said, hey, this is our gun stock. Can you make sure that it is haptically, you know, improved, like, into the game to where, you know,
what's it called?
It's integration.
It's what, yeah, integration. There you go. Yeah. It's like, does it make you feel like you're in the game? Does it make you understand what it's like to have an actual gun stock on your cheek? That's what they kind of want sometimes, you know? Yeah.
And so, don't get me wrong. So, like, we have Olin, who is our gun stock sponsor and stuff, and he makes a great product and everything like that. And I told him, I go, look, a lot of the times, it's not your gun stock that the reason why sometimes I can't use, like, in contractors, would I like to use a gun stock on certain situations? Hell yeah. But when you're in a small map and you're running and gunning and loading constantly,
you can't use a stock. No, nope.
You just can't. And
I don't use a stock for that reason. Mm-hmm. I use the virtual stock. I'm really good without the virtual stock. Don't get me wrong, but the virtual stock makes it so I don't have to worry about which position my right hand has to be in to make mm-hmm. sure that it's where I need it to be. Mm-hmm. It's always stuck on my shoulder unless I pull it out. That's unfortunately how virtual stocks are, like, better, because you don't have to purchase it. It's already in the game. Mm-hmm. It already helps you, you know. That's my two cents.
And so I was talking to him about it, and I go, look, like I said, there's certain situations where I'm, like, fighting long range. I know I'll be, like, a more setback person in mm-hmm. a certain map that I might use, like a carbine with long distance, you know, with an actual scope on it, compared to a freaking, like, an MP4 where I'll be actually up close. You know, even, like, using a pistol, you can't use a gun stock with a pistol.
Give me a 3D printed M4 lower or like AR-15 lower,
okay,
where it's got literally the magwell and everything,
yeah,
and your controller just sticks in right where the pistol grip is,
mm-hmm.
and then you have the normal buffer tube and then the stock. Oh God, I would love it.
Yeah,
I'd beat that.
And so I was talking to Olin about it's because we have I'm about to freeze again. It's in red. Why are you going red? It's like every time
I have the stream pulled up on my other monitor here to make sure we're working. It's frozen at the moment.
We're frozen?
Oh, yeah. It just came back, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean, we were probably just part of that second, but I feel like every time I get a freaking message on my phone, so let me just get this on.
I was about to say, turn your Wi-Fi off.
Yeah, and I have, you know, I have people in my house that are all on Wi-Fi. They're all watching separate tablets. Who freaking, they're capping me out.
Ask other humans to turn off the Wi-Fi.
I know. Other humans turn off my freaking Wi-Fi. So, but it's like I have 300 up, 30 down. So, I mean, I don't have no clue why I'm having issues. And I'm hardwired in.
I have gigabit Wi-Fi. So, like, I've got
fiber,
1 gigabit. Oh, yeah.
See, I know.
Oh, God.
I live in a small town.
Oh, no.
We don't have fiber. I live in the country, dude.
I live in West Virginia and I've got fiber. Damn right.
So, the thing is, like, the company that we have, like, no one knows. It's some side company from another smaller town. We're probably stealing it from, like, a bigger company. And it's just, it's not good.
Yeah, you're an offshoot. I hate to tell you.
Yeah, I know. And I've never had issues until I had that freaking windstorm. And ever since that windstorm, it's just been, like, I can't even use my freaking phone to, you know, watch any good videos right now. Like, holy cow. But
that's bad.
So anyways, with the gun stock, with the games, especially with contractors, it's like when you go to set the gun stock up through the, you know, the game, instead of like already doing because you do everything with one remote, you know, and you're trying to line everything up. But the thing is that when you're lining stuff up, I don't know why, nor will they probably ever listen to me about this. You can grab onto one thing and then line it up, but it doesn't let you grab the top part because, you know, your hand's different compared to where you grab. So you can line it up, and then as soon as you're done configuring it, as soon as you go and you grab the
rifle or whatever,
the actual rifle part of it, it's off.
So I can understand that. So I have you know, extensive use in multiple different weapons. So gun sizing in games, you know, you can tell, like, man, this isn't like if I held it in real life. Because I've shot, you know, UMPs, MP5s, SCARs, M4s. I shot a 308, a sniper rifle. You know, I've shot a not a max, you know, of everything, but, you know, I've shot enough to, you know sizing of weapons and stuff. Yeah. And having that second arm, however far you're reaching out, like, because for me, I try to touch the front sight post. Like, my hand's all the way out, either, like, locked. And so, like, when I'm playing in the VR games, when I'm controller stacking, so, you know, you don't lose your sights, and it's not good for recoil control, but it's good for, like, snaps.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's, I don't know. It's a balance that's hard to meet.
Yeah.
Even with VR stocks.
Until,
like, if there was the M4 lower, like I was saying, if they 3D printed an M4 lower, it wouldn't be good. Purely because guns are small, guns are huge. Like, there's such a variability to size that there's no chance of finding a middle ground, you know?
Yeah, and I honestly don't really think like gun stocks alone will really, like, obviously there's good companies out there, but I prefer Olin just because of what they make is a good product. It's in the United States, you know. A lot of people might bag on me because I might not go to the other company because they're outside the United States, but that also costs me more money when I go outside of it. And also a lot of the things that, you know, it's from Texas, so it's just like, I appreciate that. He's a smaller company within America. I appreciate that as well. So it's like, there's more, you know, just not just because of the gun stock and he decided to come look for it. It's other because, you know, his values, his virtues, and where he comes from.
Yeah, yeah. That's really big when you're looking to, you know, buy. So most people buy, you know, whatever's on the market. Some people actually do the research, you know, and they specific buy, like, Black Rifle. Black Rifle is a veteran-owned company for veterans.
Yep.
God. I don't drink the coffee because I'm not a coffee guy.
I love it.
I'm not a coffee guy. I'm not a coffee guy. But I've had their stuff overseas. They gave us an entire box of coffee for guys overseas. You kidding me? That's amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You go to any other K-Cup company, whatever. Who cares? They're not going to give you a box of coffee just because you're overseas. They don't care.
Like Starbucks, you know.
yeah. They're well, actually, Starbucks actually cares about the military, surprisingly enough.
Good, because they don't care about the U.S. dollar when it comes to buying a cappuccino for $10.
overpriced.
Well, that's why you can give away for free, because technically, what the dirt he said, you know, the actual CEO sells is actually like $1, and he's selling it to these, you know, these crazy people that right now are going crazy for what is it right now,
the pumpkin spice lattes.
Oh god, that's what I have to hear. Like, this is the first
basic white girl. I like what oh yeah, I love that stuff. I love pumpkin spice. I don't know what it is. I love pumpkin. It doesn't matter if it's eggnog, if it's coffee. It could be pumpkin spice, like I don't know, Reese's Peanut Butter cups. I'd eat them. I love them.
That's God. So gross. I can't stand pumpkin spice stuff. It's just not good.
It doesn't taste like pumpkin. It doesn't taste like pumpkin, but I don't know what it about it. I love it.
No, it's just pumpkin spice smells like candles. It smells like fall candles.
God, fall candles are great.
Yeah, would you eat a fall candle?
Probably, if it smelled good enough, probably.
So would a basic white girl. You're fitting in. Look at that. But anyways, yeah, so gun stocks, you know, they're cool, but they have their certain niche on games. I think they're really good for Onward. They have a place maybe in Pavlov, depending on what gun you're using.
I think they're great in what they need to do.
Yeah, I agree.
They're very specifically targeted. So, like, gun stocks have a certain measure and length and how you attach the controllers. I think they're great. I just think they're great in certain situations. I think they're situational. For me, right? If I was sniping, I do this a lot in not contractors. What's the other one? It's contractors, Pavlov, and there's
Onward.
Onward, thank you. Onward. I do this a lot in Onward. I use the floor as a stock. So I lay on the ground, have my one controller set, while I'm sniping and I'm laying on the floor and I have my other controller set perfectly so I can just snipe and then use my right arm to cock the bolt, grab the pistol grip, mm-hmm. and shoot again. It's just perfect because it's how the rifle sits in real life.
Yeah.
It's how I sit in real life. It immerses me. It immerses me in the gameplay. That's my favorite part about it. If I had a gun stock, I feel like that would make my job a little easier in balancing the rifle. Excuse me.
Yeah.
I just think it's very situational. And I think that if you use it overall, it'll work out for you. I just don't think it's something I like.
Yeah, and there's a lot of, you have to build your memory up with it like crazy. Sometimes I'll play 6 to 8 hours of VR, like, nonstop. Especially, like, right now, my game I'm playing right now competitively is Population 1. So I'm sweating my ass off for about 7-8 hours
sometimes. Yeah, and then the animations aren't really that taxing. It's small animations to reload the rifle. So, I mean, it's all small movements.
But when you're playing, like, Contra, because you can't use a gun stock for Population 1. You're doing too much climbing, too much everything. So, I don't do that. But when I played it for contractors and stuff, your arm and your shoulders get sore within an hour.
I don't doubt that.
Yeah.
Even playing, like, climbing simulators, where you're literally just climbing a wall or a ladder. Oh my god, my arms get tired. I'm like, oh, this is a workout at this point. Meanwhile, I'm still climbing.
Yeah, I mean, but you gotta think of, like, man, why can't I remember his name that he was on the podcast? He's a guy that owns, beer something in VR. He's the one that does TikTok and stuff, and he's in the full, he has a gun stock.
He's the treadmill. He's got the treadmill too. Yeah, yeah. Oh, I know exactly who that is. That's hold on. I got you. No, you're not.
I'm just gonna scroll down my past podcast.
Oh no, that's not fair. That's cheating.
I'm not on my Wi-Fi on my phone, so look, nothing's loading.
It's like beer something.
Beard and headshots.
Beer shots and head. Yeah.
But I can't remember his actual name
right
now, though.
That's his Twitch name. Yeah, that's his Twitch name. Hold up. He has a VR ML team.
Yeah, my phone's not alone. Like, what is up with this? I think the world's coming to an end.
I'm blind. Oh, you're going to find it before me, purely because I'm blind.
Well, if I had any connection to the outside world of using my freaking phone...
Get better. That's all I got to say. Get better internet.
So, beer and headshots with J-Bar.
J-Bar, yes. God, you did find it before me.
Yeah, with shitty internet, with not on my Wi-Fi, because I was tired of crashing this every time I got a freaking message.
I'm blind, okay?
Yeah, but no, imagine, so I had him on the podcast.
He is a really cool guy. I love him to death.
I'll have to bring him on again, especially that you're the co-host. I think he'll come on and like talking with you.
I love his team. All of them have good energy as people. Mm-hmm. Oh, God, great people. Yeah. And I'm pretty sure he's prior service as well. I think he's ex-military, if I remember correctly.
I did not ask him that, but his demeanor comes off of that. But
exactly, yeah, military guys, no military guys. It's just a thing.
Yeah, his demeanor.
We got this magical thing.
He has a demeanor. I can see it just the way he talks and the way he's respectable with things. You know, but who knows? And he's got a gnarly mustache, man.
I'm jealous of his mustache. Fuck him and his majestic mustache. I'm jealous.
He talked about on TikTok that he might have the most voluptuous, gorgeous mustache. I added some extra words in there just because I wanted to. Mustache in VR, and I was just like, you ain't wrong, because I tried to compete with him one day. I'm just like, dude, I look like a hillbilly from freaking Illinois, where I'm freaking from.
Oh, that's bad. He's a really cool guy. If we did get him on the podcast again, I'd love it.
He definitely said he would come back. And so, and he's just a fun dude to talk about. His podcast that I had with him was 2 hours and 32 minutes. He'll talk. So,
oh yeah.
I know he's
that kind of guy.
He's that kind of guy. There's like three people that I know that if I'm going to have him on the podcast, I'm going to be like, I better be feeling great. And strapped in and ready to just.
I better prepare the viewers. I gotta put it out real quick. Long podcast. Get your beers or your whatever, your comfort food. Get ready.
Yeah, exactly. Like, there's a couple other people that I want to get back on here, and it's so hard right now because with VR, you would think that this would be like the time of the year where like games would be amped up, ramping in, coming in, and all this cool stuff. And then it's like all of what VR did was like, you know what PlayStation made?
I think it's pancake gaming. A lot of pancake gaming is coming back purely because of the old remakes, you know, like Modern Warfare 2 just came out, you know, like pancake gaming always will like overtake the market in, you know, yearly sales wise for Christmas, Thanksgiving.
Yeah,
unfortunately.
And now that you know, you can actually get a PlayStation 5, I think you can actually go to a Walmart now and physically see consoles.
Xbox kind of died to PS5s, you know. Xbox Series X and S.
Yeah.
Not as popular as the PS5s right now.
In my opinion, if you're going to buy your kid a console, don't. Buy him a PC. It'll last him 10 times longer.
I think that depends. I think it's how you care for things. I had my Xbox One. My Xbox One went to 5 different countries before it died. It died when it came home, and I spent like half of a year playing on it, and it was like I'm tired. Mm-hmm. I'm coughing. I'm done, bro. Get the Xbox Series X now or something. Yeah. And then I switched to PC. You know,
I'm not talking about quality. Or how well the console is. I'm talking about if you want to truly get into gaming.
Oh, playability.
Playability. Yeah.
PC, you can do anything. Literally anything. You can do VR. You can do pancake gaming. You can do 8-bit, like, emulators. You can do everything.
Yeah.
Everything. Sky is the limit.
Yeah, you can do, like, crazy things like World of Warcraft. You know, they had just came out their crazy freaking new update with dragons.
Oh, yeah. Huge update.
Freaking huge. So, that you know, you got that coming back as well. But then you have other cool games that only come on PC, like the new one that's, like, CSGO that everyone's been raving about. I think of it? It's, like, one of the most popular games right now, and it plays just like CSGO. It's, like, the newest version of it.
What's it called? My friends play it all the time, and I don't like the game. It's like CSGO and Overwatch had a baby.
Yeah, basically. And Overwatch 2 just came out. When the hell did that happen?
Well, I mean, that it's really just another game update.
It is just another freaking game update. But yeah, but why?
That's why they made it free.
Valorant,
yes.
Yeah.
Give me 1 second. I'll be right back. I gotta go. All
right, that's fine. While you're gone, I will talk about some of our sponsorships. What's up, Barry Lemon? How's it going? So he is either going to the bathroom or going to do something. Yeah, Valorant. Thank you. We got it. We beat you to it. Go check out the link in the descriptions with our new co-host. He will be in the descriptions from here on out. But he streams and he plays mostly Pavlov and Vale. Go check out Olin VR. They are our one stop for gun stocks. We have Dubby Energy, which in my opinion, and this is not just saying it because they're not a sponsor. We're more affiliated with them. I've been affiliate with like 3 or 4 different energy companies, and out of all of them, they're the ones that actually are probably the nicest when it comes to doing affiliate stuff, and they also have the best taste, like hands down. I really like it. I don't even use them for gaming. I use it for when I'm tired at work, and if I'm done drinking coffee for the day, I do a scoop of Dubby. It's pretty good. And then Rucked Up, they're gonna be our sponsor. That's coming bigger next year. He's busy as heck. Last time I talked to him, he's like, I'm building a game here, doing this, doing that. And I'm like, hey, we'll see what you got coming in 2023. So more for him to come. And then other than that, if you want to like do more sponsorships, get a hold of me, and then we'll get you on here, talk about it. Oh, look, he's back. He's back.
I am a wild man. Yeah, I got hot and I had some other chores to do real quick. Besides that, though, yeah, you know, as much as I like energy drinks, I need something that's like healthy for me. I can't be drinking the Monsters or, you know, the Red Bulls. Dude, I was legit addicted to those. I was addicted to those things. I would drink 6 a day.
Yeah, you're
just because
you might have kidney stones. You're gonna be pissing out rocks in a couple years.
Is that how they make rock stars?
Exactly, 100%. Yeah. But no, like, no joke. Like, I've done Rogue. I've tried G Fuel, but you can't even come close to getting affiliate sponsorship unless you know some people there. We did a one company. I'm not wearing their shirt. No, this is Mr. Beast's shirt. I did this one company that they were pretty cool. They even put our logo on an energy drink and made an energy drink out of our stuff and let us sell it. They were cool. But then he like went out of business for a second to re-find a new fabricator for his stuff, and I'm just like, yeah, I'm not really waiting around. And so I found someone mentioned Dubby to me, and I'm like, I've never heard of it at all. And it was between Dubby or like Sneak, some other thing like that. So I tried Dubby. I did their little sample packs. I only don't like one, which is green apple, but I'm not a big green apple.
How much are their sample packs?
So you can buy a sample pack with a shaker cup for, I believe they do that deal where you only have to pay for the taxes or the shipping and handling.
Really? Huh.
But I think you can get 3 or 4 different samples with a cup for like $7-$8.
All right. What's your favorite flavor then? Let's go with that.
Yeah. So hold on. This is my absolute favorite flavor.
I'm a green apple connoisseur. I'll be trying the green apple.
If you like green apple stuff, like this one is up your alley, because here's the thing, green apple, it has its place in like maybe like a Jolly Rancher, you know?
Oh God, best Jolly Rancher there is.
But their freaking Dubby green apple energy drink was like, I'm just gonna try it. Dark, I was driving to work and I freaking took a sip of it, and it literally puckered my ass so quickly. I'm just like, what in the world? Is this? You need to brighten up there. You can go.
I think it's this app. I don't have any issues on Discord or any other. Like, I can Twitch and have no issues. I think it's just Zoom. We need to find a better app than Zoom.
So, anyways, we have a link for like 15% off, right? That you can use. I think it's like Esports Havoc, something like that. It's in the link in the description. If you want to use it for a discount, but say you can do their starter pack with a shaker cup, and it's $15. And they did this other deal where it was buy one, get a whole entire tub half off. So that was pretty cool.
Holy shit.
Holy shit. Now it looks like I'm talking to someone that's in like in the mafia.
I'm in pitch darkness. Come on, camera. I believe in you. Hold up. Me.
So yeah,
hey,
you just fixed it. Now it went away.
Hold up.
So while you're figuring that out, I'm gonna label off their energy ones, and then you pick which one you think is my favorite.
All right, I got you. Go ahead.
All right, so they have Dragonade energy drink tub, the Dub Sludge energy drink, which is green apple. They have the Galaxy Grenade energy drink, which is like a berry one. They have the Beach and Peach energy drink, which is obviously peach, and then the Passion Joy Tea energy tub. Which one do you think is my favorite?
Passion Joy Tea. You're from the South. You gotta enjoy tea.
Oh, I mean, I do like. I like a good Arnold Palmer.
Those are decent, but those aren't Southern teas.
My favorite though is a Dragonade.
Yeah, okay, that's fair. I can understand.
It is. I had it. I'm just this is hands down. So Dragonade is dragon fruit with lemonade.
That sounds pretty good, actually. I would try that.
It was pretty good. And you at least get the sample pack just to give it a go. And like what I was telling people, I don't even drink it when I play video games, just because like if I'm getting to a competition, like I will drink a beer before I'll drink an energy drink any day before a competition.
Yeah, you want a downer, not an upper.
Yeah, exactly. But now if I know like I'm gonna be up all freaking day
I can trust me. I understand that entirely. My pregame for games now, if I'm upset and like tired, I will literally go insane. I'll put on some heavy metal and smash skulls. That's literally my pregame ritual. I will turn my music as loud as possible. I won't listen to the game audio. I'll just kill things. Yeah. And it makes me happy listening to like the hype and like the screaming. Uh-huh. Oh God. Yeah. It literally gives me goosebumps. Like I'll have goosebumps the entire time because it's just an experience, you know?
Dude, I like forget sometimes of things that I do when I compete. Like I was playing our very first pop match last week together with this new team that I put together, and one of our old teammates was like, "Hey, do you know like you got a pretty solid kill on somebody? Like he got a little cocky with you, and you just sniped him straight in his skull." And I go, "I don't remember doing that at all." He goes, "Yeah, it was pretty awesome.
I was drunk. I couldn't remember anything."
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead.
Oh, welcome back, I think. Oh, there you go.
I'm back.
So I've been told I'm better as an IGL when I'm drunk, and I'm better as a player when I'm drunk. I'm one of, you know, I'm an okay entry fragger, you know? That's that's my position. When I'm drunk and I'm just running in and gunning, I am stupid good for no reason. Don't ask me why. I can be dual wielding, which dual wielding is very difficult. I am really good at that for no reason when I'm drunk. Don't ask me why. I'm just great at it.
That's funny. Yeah, like sometimes when I'll play like late night Population 1, I'll like get on there and I'll be like, don't expect much from me, but I'm going to be a freaking lunatic. And I will literally, because like my favorite gun on there is the MP5. It's just, and it's a little pea shooter in that game. And I'll just go in there laughing, just melting the whole team together. And they're like, what are you doing over there? I go, I just wiped a whole team. And I'm just like, how funny is it that they, I literally want to get on their mic and just be like, you just got beat by a drunk man.
So since we're on the topic of playing video games, I am starting a streaming schedule, even on my crappy PC. We're going to see if it works. Tomorrow I'll be streaming, and I kind of, for my streams, at least for tomorrow, it's gonna be music, so it's not non royalty, so I don't get trouble. Mm-hmm. I'll have non royalty music, and I'll be streaming. It's probably gonna start at 7 Eastern Standard Time.
So 6 Central.
Yeah, and then 9 it'll end probably. Just short 2-hour stream.
What game?
Pavlov.
Pavlov.
It's my love. It deserves some attention at the moment. I've been neglecting it. And so I'm trying to hopefully start a constant stream if I can, if my PC lets me. We'll put it that way.
Good. And so we have that link in the description. If it's not, then remind me and I'll add it on there so people can go check it out. But the one thing that I want to talk about before we left, which is kind of the biggest news right now. I mean, before I even get to that, have you tried Among Us yet?
The VR that just came out? No. Yeah. I mean, I've played the VR Among Us in, VR chat. That one's pretty okay.
Yeah, the VR chat was pretty good. So far I've heard good news for that, so good for them on that. I'm almost positive. So their NDA was nuts. And so if you test...
hold on. For Among Us, their NDA was nuts. You can't. You can't talk to me like that.
You want to hear this?
Yes.
This is unheard of.
Go ahead.
I've never heard of this, and this is what I'm saying. It's nuts, and I don't even understand why they even made this a rule at all. And I'm pretty sure it was already broken. Mm-hmm. And who cares? They're gonna get sued because Among Us is pretty big. But you know, we know what Among Us is. It's been made three times
same
over
game.
Now. It's the same
game. The same game.
It's been on console. It's been on PC. It's even mobile. So I'm reading through their NDA, like you should. Most people should. And you should, you know, if you don't.
All contracts, you should probably skim, if anything.
You should skim it. Well, my favorite part on this is that through the NDA, that any gameplay that you played from alpha to launch, you cannot use for your own use to have videos already made to push, you know, people to go.
Even after launch,
it has the rest of its game life's NDA for
That's
anything.
That's confusing. Because then, I mean, you could see where the progress was that they actually care about their game. Like, it's not like you're losing audience if you post the alpha, because then you're showing, hey, we care about the game at this point. You know, we're releasing content and updates.
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Well, a lot of people go ahead and make tutorials, and that's how, you know, they get a little bit of an extra viewership. Yeah. It helps out the people that are actually going to stream your game as well. And I'm reading that, and I'm like, if I can't record stuff and maybe even, because that was something that I would have probably done a review on, because it's a pretty simple review, and I'd probably get people, you know, to watch it. And I'm just like, I can't record any of my beta play and then use it. I'm like, screw that. It's freaking Among Us.
So we both know about Tabor. We can't say much, but I can understand this. Like, I don't think Tabor has the same sentiment, but it's very closed off at the moment. You know, like as soon as the at least from what I understand, if you talk to like the PR guy will let you know what you can do.
Well, Danny has YouTube videos all over about it.
Yeah, but it's like certain stuff, like
guns, pistols, every gun. Yeah. Like, so he showed every gun, but I think he recently showed you how a backpack
and they do
works.
They do tutorials too. Like he's what is he, a dev or is he just like the PR guy? I think he's just a PR guy, right?
He's not even a PR guy. So Danny is part of Havoc, and I think that I don't know if he got offered a position to do this as a creator. But he just might be a...
I know you have to talk to Cuss, so... I know I'm Cuss, but the other Cuss... The Tabor Cuss. The Tabor Cuss. Yeah, so there's a Tabor Cuss. I was like, how do you... Yeah. Oh, Mr. Cuss, ooh.
Yeah.
There's two of us, right? No, but there is somebody to talk to, and they'll let you stream and stuff, depending on what you stream and everything, you know?
So the people over there to talk is like... Is
yeah, they're normal. They're normal. Yeah, they're normal. They're not like, oh, you can't post anything of the alpha. There's nothing.
No, because no matter what, if you have bad publicity on an alpha or a beta, like you said, any publicity is publicity. It's like people, you want people to see your game. So when I read that, it was just like mind blowing. So I'm like, whatever. But that game,
honestly, just go play VR chat at this point, because you can have custom characters and you don't have to pay for anything. I didn't say that. Don't kill me. Don't.
Dude, don't, I'm gonna go to VR chat and just make a whole tutorial and be like, "This is Among Us VR."
Yeah, you gotta make sure everybody in lobby has the skin and everything.
Yeah,
making it look actual legit.
Yeah. So, but anyways, before we get out of here, one thing I did want to talk about, because it's just big news, is the Apple VR headset with that article I sent you. So, what do you think about that? Do you think it will be successful?
I'm not an Apple guy. I think it's mostly overpriced. I have not in depth read into it or understood a lot of the capabilities that it's boasting at the moment.
Yeah, I but do want to read one part of this.
It's saying it's a mass market headset for $2,000 to $3,000. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, the Valve Index is $99.99. Yeah, $999.99. Yeah, while the Apple's is $2,000, $3,000. Now, I will understand if it's an inside out headset, like no wires, nothing, because that requires a lot of capabilities. Like the inside out tracking for the Rift S, it's very good, but it's plugged in. So if I've been reading, skimming a little bit, but if what Apple wants to do with the game or with the headset can reach those capabilities, I would say it's worth it. If it can do the inside out tracking and have no issues, you don't need controllers, which it kind of looks like they're trying to do it without controllers for the most part.
So here's the thing. So the biggest thing is that they're making their own 3D world, which might be a true meta of what Meta really should have been building, because the first Meta that we saw...
Steam already did it.
the first Meta that we saw was supposed to be very realistic, and then we got a freaking Nintendo Wii version of the Meta world. But the thing is that if you're going to cost... It's going to be $2,000 to $3,000, it better be PC VR capable.
Yeah, that's the big issue, is that as I'm seeing right now, it's not.
But here, let me read this little sliver of the articles. I don't know how much on articles you can actually read without getting in trouble. I mean, I'll post a link in the description anyway, since we're talking about it. But it goes, here's what we already know. The headset itself likely to be priced between $2,000 to $3,000 because it's high-end product that will pack a Mac-level M2 chip. More than 10 cameras placed outside and inside, so it's going to have eye tracking.
It'll have base stations and internal. Okay.
The device and the highest resolution display ever featured at mass market headset. That's the only thing I want to read. That was the only thing that I'm just like, and that's what they already know. That's not a guess. That's what we already know. And so I don't know if a lot of people know about Macs, but the M2 chip is a pretty nice chip.
Yeah, it's a good piece of hardware, but as long as they, so the big thing with VR headsets, even my Valve Index, is cooling. So, you know, you have your wire and everything. Your wire is not going to generate heat. It's going to be the headset, the processing chip, and everything else. You know, I think that's going to be the biggest hurdle. As long as they can handle cooling. Like Valve has, you know, customizability. You can put a radiator on it and have like a fan for both in and out. I don't know about the Apples, but as it looks right now, it doesn't have major cooling capabilities. It's just a pancake on your face with a nice counterbalance in the back of your head. I don't know if it'll be good for gaming. I think it'll be good for like small games. Like if you were to play like an archer tower defense, because, you know, that's only a set amount of NPCs and, you know, the player character and a set amount of projectiles, but it wouldn't be able to handle something like Pavlov necessarily. Where
we really don't know yet, though, you know,
no guarantees. We don't have much to go off of, but that's how it seems right now. They're marketing it to short-term kind of low CPU games at the moment. I think they're going after their own market. I don't think so, kind of like how the Apple Store has their own, you know, games and stuff. I think they're going to try that with VR, because, you know, app products such as like Apple's you know, like their exclusives.
Yeah, they have an actual area. It's called Apple Arcade.
Yeah, they have exclusively products like that work, you know, for them. But then on the opposite side of the coin is, say, Android. Android has a lot of their own products, and, you know, each has their strength and, you know, their weaknesses. But I think Apple's trying to do the same thing here, which I think they might fail, though, because, you know, an exclusive market hasn't worked before. Like, no, you see,
we need to get away from exclusive markets.
Look at the Oculus headset. The Oculus headset's great. Don't get me wrong. The hardware is great, but the fact that it doesn't have OpenOS, it's a bad headset. Everybody can boast how its mobility is great, but they can't boast about the OS and how the product runs itself, because it's a failure as a product. Like, it's not something you can just hop into and customize to how you like it. You have to play it how they intended you to play it.
Yeah, I mean, it's a small headset. Like, and unless they, you know, the only thing that I could think of with, you know, to be powerful enough to play a game like Pavlov, or even so, Pavlov, you could probably get away with like the Shaq version. But now, if you want to play a game like Veil, to where they don't have an Oculus version, it's only PC VR or not. And
you have to have dedicated hardware.
You'd have to have dedicated hardware, but people are like, well, how would you cool it down? Would you think anyone would be opposed of liquid cooling a headset?
I don't think it's entirely easy. So you already have a wire attached to the back of your head that doesn't necessarily equal a lot of weight, but water weighs a lot. A gallon of water is what? I don't know.
5 pounds? Is it 2.5 pounds? Is it?
I don't know. It's something along the lines of 5 pounds.
Let's Google.
Imagine that hanging. Okay, fine. I'll do it.
Yeah.
Okay. Imagine that hanging off of your face. You know, that's because it'll be, you know, the influx of water. It'll have to have pumps and AIO. It'll have to, you know, have a reservoir either in your pocket or as a vest. It wouldn't work, unfortunately, you know? Let's see.
Yeah, because I think that's what a lot of people have to think about. Like, even right now, when you talk about overheating, like, I'm really interested on what they're going to do when they try and make like the Deckard, which is going to be Steam standalone.
A 1 gallon of water is 8 pounds, by the way. 8 pounds.
See, I was close the first time. I knew it was more than...
That's crazy, though. Like, that's a lot to have on your body. Like, I wear 35 pounds for work with my, you know, my bulletproof vest and my plates. That's 35 pounds. Mm-hmm. And that kills your back. I don't know about 8 pounds, but, you know, it's...
But, you know, how much would you really need on a headset? I would think you would only need, like...
The Valve Index in representability is 1.78 pounds. So, you know, it's heftier, but, you know, you're not water cooling it. You can get a radiator.
So imagine if you only have to add 12 ounces of water. That's a beer.
Yeah, it's 3 more pounds. I don't know. It seems like a lot to me, you know.
12 ounces like, weighs points. It'd be a pound extra, so it'd be 2 pounds on your head.
Yeah.
That's a lot for your skull, though, like your neck.
They could, you know, use it as counterbalance. They could have, like, a water belt on the back of your head. It sounds dumb, but it sounds like something that's feasible. You could have, like, a small, like, water bottle on the back of your head, basically.
It's the only thing that is viable to not... Because you have this headset on your head. What's the... You know, when you have something anywhere touching your head, your ears pick up everything. So if you have
like the water sloshing, it might mess up the mic quality at that point too.
I just think fans would, unless they come up with some new fan that is like a crazy air intake that also is going through the freaking motherboard to cool it down, but also cooling down your face. But it's like, how are you going to counteract with that if you look at a car, when it goes through something, it's going to only be coming out pure freaking heat on your face.
Mm-hmm. So I have two excerpts from this article you sent me, and I want to mention. So you will work closely with Apple's UI framework, human interface designers, and system capabilities teams to pushing you to think outside the box and solve incredibly challenging and interesting problems in the 3D application space. So just from that, and as well as, you know, we are looking for software engineers who will work on the App Intents framework to help design and implement solutions to unlock deep system intelligence. So, like, those two excerpts alone describe to me that Apple's trying to go for their own app store, continuing with Oculus Store. So, I just, as I'm reading through it, I'm like, they're going to continue with the Oculus Store, and that's what's going to kill them. It's not going to help. I hate to see such great aspirations be shot down by, you know, I think it's ego at this point, is that I want somebody to like my things instead of helping out other companies. I don't know. I enjoy the fact that somebody's trying to help the market of VR. I just don't think they're doing it right.
No, that's what everyone's doing. Like, I totally agree with that, because it's like, when you look at, but you know, if you look at a phone, compared to iPhone and Android, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then obviously you have other competitors like the Pixel and stuff like that, which is Google's phone. But if you look at any other subsidiary phone, its processor or like its computing power is most
generally
likely
the same.
Going to be Android. Android is not a phone. Android is actually like the code that, you know, makes the phone be you know, what you see. But if you look at Apple, Apple's Apple. Apple does not sell any of their stuff. And that's also why when you go into the settings, you can't go into dev mode.
Yeah, so Apple, you know, they have what they want, their intent, and they don't want anybody to change it. Meanwhile, Android's merely like, hey, we have this. If you'd like to use it, it's yours. But otherwise, you can do whatever you want with it. You know, that's how I think Android and Apple have combated as companies, is that they have vastly different products in UI and like how it operates. But in hardware, they're very similar. Not a lot has changed in the phone battles in years. Like, like facial recognition and thumbprint scanning and like doing away with the buttons and everything. They're vastly similar in that aspect. And that, I mean, isn't much of a change. You know, you can't really expect anything different for that, for companies trying to make the best products hardware wise. But I think software wise is where Android wins, in my book, at least. Mm-hmm. Apple is very good at doing what they do, and that's creating a product that's easy to use and is streamlined. You know,
yeah.
Android is not a streamlined. It's very difficult as a UI, like finding things, and you have to Google, you know, and do your research. Meanwhile, Apple is just like, hey, watch this YouTube tutorial. You're pretty much, that's it. You know,
I also think that Apple has better security, and that's just
For certain.
You know,
so Apple's security is one of the utmost best. Whether that be in just the phone's lock, like Apple themselves won a case against the government trying to unlock somebody's mm-hmm. phone. In a case of law, they said, we cannot open that phone due to, you know, it violates rights, no matter how much wrong they did. And, you know, being who I am, you know, I'm military police. I feel like due process requires that you present all evidence if possible. And, you know, I think that's withholding evidence. But yeah. with the court of law stating that it wasn't, you know, I mean, that protects civil liberties. And I think that's a great thing that Apple has going for them. They'll protect your civil liberties mm-hmm. to hell and high water, even spending millions of dollars on lawyers for a case. So, you know, I respect them in that aspect.
Yeah.
I have to. Like, there's nothing you can really say about them respectability-wise, because mm-hmm. they'll go hell and high water for their you know, their customers.
Yeah, so, but the way it looks like, the 11,000 employees that Meta just released might make their way over to Apple, because there's other article says Apple job listing suggests the company is building a metaverse of its own for its long rumored headset, and then it shows all their postings. It's kind of funny that this article comes out.
I'm confused.
5 days after,
Meta and Apple are the same company. I think they're flagshipped by Facebook. I think they're owned by Mark Zuckerberg.
Apple?
Apple's or no, not Apple. Excuse me. I'm tired. All right.
No,
you got
this,
me.
This guy right here. I don't know if you can see him. He's the one that took over for Jobs.
Cause like yeah.
His name
I was
is
confused.
The Apple CEO is Tim Cook.
I think they're okay, there you go. That's what I was confused about. Alright, so now that it's clear to me in my head, Apple, I think, is trying to market against Facebook Meta. I think that's where they're okay, that makes more sense to me now. I'm less confused. It is all clear to me now. No, but seriously though, like, you know, Oculus, which is Meta, is failing as a company at the moment, where mm-hmm. Apple's trying to upstart, you know, their own version of Oculus is the best I would put it, because it's a streamlined product with their own apps. So, I mean, I think it's another version of Oculus where it's going to fail because of the, you know.
Unless they make the proper product.
If they can make the proper product and they have all the same apps as Steam and, you know, have the same accessibility as Steam, because you could put Steam on
the Steam Deck.
Yeah, you could put Steam Steam games on a Steam Deck. You could have like Nintendo games on a Steam Deck because of like an emulator.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, there's so much you can do to Steam. Like the amount of customizability that Steam has is ridiculous. You can do anything with a Steam game. Meanwhile, if you have like an Oculus game, you can't really mod it. Modding is hard or very difficult at least.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you have an Oculus Quest. So like Questies, the Oculus Quest is, you know, it's its own thing. Even hooking it up to a PC, it doesn't change much of the processing power. It just changes what GPU it's using.
Yeah. And the thing is that the war that's being created is Xbox against PlayStation, and it's just gonna, you know.
So I can agree with that entirely. So Xbox and PlayStation is gonna be Meta and Apple.
It is. It will be.
You have, And then you have Steam, who's PC still, you know? It hasn't changed for years.
Yeah, Steam will be sitting there just giggling at every. It's always been the meme of the part of the joke where you have,
that's fucking hilarious.
Two little children fighting out, and then you have the freaking, you know, the father looking down at them just like, come to the master race, you know, PC world.
Oh, God. That's going to be great. It's going to come out that Apple and Meta are having these wars, and us Steam gamers will be like, huh? Oh. Console peasants.
Yeah, exactly. And then you have little tiny Pico Neo over there just like, who
I'm
knows?
Just here for the fun.
Yeah,
you know, I
fun.
Yeah,
we have our That's, our we have our the Asian continent as supporters, you know, because,
do you know, like, you know what slime trackers are?
Slime trackers,
so Vive trackers, you know what they are, right? They're the little, hold on, I got one.
Yeah, I know you're talking about the I think
the nice little about. The little puck things that help you do full body. So I have one right here. If it,
yeah,
it showed.
I saw it the first time.
There you go.
There you go.
So,
yeah.
So that's the Vive tracker. So slime trackers are a cheap version.
You get slimed?
No. I'm good. But they're the same thing, but a little cheaper because, you know, the tech isn't as exclusive anymore, and they're trying to make it, you know, marketable, with, you know, decent prices. So slime trackers are the cheaper version of full body at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
They, as a company, are more of like Steam, where Vive is more like, hey, we want you to buy our products and our products solely, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so slime trackers, I don't know, they used to have a lot of traction. Funny bad pun. bad pun I didn't really think of. So slime trackers had a lot of traction back a year and a half ago when I first started VR, but you know, they haven't really became marketably used, you know.
Like, yeah.
A lot of people don't use them. So I feel like that'll be a nice influx where we need more hardware on the same software.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, we need Steam software on more hardware. I think that's why VR is failing at the moment.
Yeah, well, here's the thing. Steam's failing is because the real direction to go is to gaming. And because that's where you're going to get your money at, especially when console comes to an end. Console only maybe has five, maybe 10 years left, if that. But PC will always remain. But PlayStation, Xboxes, I don't think they're going to live.
Consoles. I just don't think people with consoles actually understand PC and how easy it is to get into.
They need to, because it is.
It's cheaper. It is cheaper in upgradability as long as your initial cost is going to be higher.
Yes, but
overall, you spent $800 on a piece on a gaming system that you could buy a 2084 and do the same thing. You know.
Yeah.
Overall, though, like, console gaming has a very marketable, you know, start cost. You know, like, hey, this is all you need to buy. Here's your console. Here you go.
And hopefully, and you have a TV.
Yeah, honestly, that's all you need. I think that's what people enjoy more. It's that it's like a casual, hey, I just want to throw this up and do some stuff, you know.
Yeah, but meanwhile, it's so
PC,
disgusting.
You're not wrong. You know, I switched over from Xbox to PC for that reason. It wasn't for VR. Like, I didn't initially buy my PC for VR. I initially bought my PC because I wanted my own customability. I wanted to be able to do whatever I wanted with games, you know. You really wouldn't have that chance with console. You can mod with console, but it's not really welcomed or easy, you know.
Yeah.
So when you switch over to PC, though, modding is so like expanding into games that you love, like Fallout. You can there's modding that's allowed in the game, you know, which is helpful. But, you know, like it's on console and PC. Like, that's perfect. That's how console gaming should be. But, you know, like Minecraft and other games where you want to mod, you can't really mod if you're on console.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and I totally agree. Like, but that's where I'm saying, like, I don't see, let me say, a foreseeable future of PlayStation 6.
I give it 5 years.
Yeah,
I can give it.
That's fair.
I can give it 5 years till console gaming possibly starts fading away more, you know, because Xbox gamers and, you know, PS gamers, they've died down a lot, you know, with the newer generations, because people are, you know, in the reluctant capability of understanding that PCs are, you know, are the way to go. They're easier to maintain, and like Xbox, you can't really do anything.
Who's saying that they don't go to a cheaper, viable computer?
Yeah. You can spend $300 on a computer and do the same stuff that a $800 Xbox One Series X can do right now.
Because, like, you look at a PlayStation 5, it is comparable to a 2000 series.
Yep, a 2080 or 2060.
That's fair.
Yeah, or 2070, excuse me.
Yeah, that's fair. And that's not bad, especially right now. That's a mid-tier thing. It'll get you, it'll play any game you want.
I can run VR on a 2060 Super, which is a $600 GPU at the moment. But that's purely because everybody likes the 2060.
It should be cheaper because the price drop of the 4000 series went down $500 from the 3000 series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, but like, still though, you it's understandable. Like, it's an easy to kick into thing. Like, I spent $1,500 in a laptop. That's the startup cost. I was supposed to deploy with it, and I could play VR on it. You know, $1,500 is expensive. Don't get me wrong, but as an initial cost to run a VR capable system, really good.
Yeah, because you need, you know, you don't only need the GPU, but you also need the memory the memory is a big thing.
The CPU is also very big.
But yeah, so, and the thing is that if there ever is a PlayStation 6, it will be 100% solely just because they have a pretty kick-ass VR console, you know.
PSVR 2 is coming out pretty soon. I can bet you. Oh, is it? Hold up. Wait, when did that come out? Hold up.
I thought it came out.
What? No.
Maybe the people are just testers testing it right now.
Hold up. Maybe I'm...
It has a huge price range, though.
Yes, VR 2. It's comparable to the Valve Index. Okay, hold up. Let's see.
Here, we're pulling up. PlayStation.com.
Available February 2023.
They're not going to beat the December? That's dumb.
No, but that's normal for PS. PS usually gets December or February. That's their... So experience the next generation of virtual reality with the stunning 4K HDR visuals, genre-defining games, and unique sensations from the groundbreaking PlayStation VR 2 headset and the VR 2 Sense controller. So I feel like they're going for, you know, Valve Index vibes, but PS, you know? Just from the look of the headset too, if you look at it yourself, it looks nice.
I like it.
It looks like the old Rift S. You know, that's exactly what it looks like.
I will buy it if I can play PC VR on it.
Stop it. No. Just get a Valve Index at that point.
No. What I was saying, Valve Index, man, to spend the money on a brand new Valve Index would be a loss.
Okay, so you want to know how I did my Valve Index? I own 3 sets of controllers because I smash a lot of my controllers. Oh, no.
Oh, crap. Whatever.
I'll fix it real quick. But while I'm doing that, so I spent $300 on the headset, which is really good. It's a $500 headset alone. And then if you go off the controllers themselves, so if you buy the headset separately used, if you buy the headset used, it actually is cheaper than buying the whole set. So if you buy the base stations off of somebody else's, like used base stations, they're not guaranteed to be great, but they're usable in the aspects that you need or want. So for me, at least, I've bought one used base station, one brand new one, and then plenty of controllers because I smashed them, and it's still cheaper than buying an actual headset that's with all the bits and bobs. I recommend
oh man,
you bitch. I recommend if you do buy the headset, what the fuck, I recommend if you do buy the headset, piece it together, it works better. Let's see if that fixes it, and then bam.
Yeah, but I see what you mean. But right now, until they make a new one, I really,
Well, Valve Index probably will be coming out here with Valve Index 2 soon, or just a, you know, an updated Valve Index.
Yeah.
Purely for the fact that it needs it in the market right now.
It needs it in the market, but it needs a hardware upgrade.
Yeah, it needs a hardware upgrade. The capabilities that it currently can do is a lot. So, I mean, just the fact that a Valve Index alone can do what it currently can is great. It just needs a better cooling, I think. Mm-hmm. And then it'll be a better headset.
Yeah, I've definitely heard a lot about people overheating with that.
Yeah, you certainly have to have a radiator. Otherwise, you're definitely going to lose a lot of your capabilities early on because your headset burns out.
Yeah.
Like, for me, I play 6, 7, 8 hours at a time sometimes. There you go. That's fixed. And, you know, the headset gets hot. The room gets hot purely because the GPU, the CPU all get hot. And then you got to think the CPU on the headset itself gets hot. And so, like, it just, during the summer, I'm going to be honest, I ain't wearing clothes if I'm in VR.
yeah.
That's the unfortunate thing of, like, you got to trade out, you know, comfortability for playability.
Yeah, exactly. Chafe City.
Mm-hmm.
But
anyway. Baby powder.
Yeah.
Baby powder.
Yeah, so this is a good first episode as a co-host.
Yes, thank you for having me. It's an amazing experience. For the first two times, great experience. I love talking to you. You're a great person, you know, as like the relatability as well.
Yeah, I try to be. I try and make this enjoyable for everybody, you know. Last time I was drinking during it. As you can tell, I'm a little bit more with it this time compared to the last time.
I'm with it. I'm here. Yeah. Meanwhile, Wi-Fi cuts out.
Oh yeah, yeah. Who knows? I'm about to take a baseball bat to my modem when I'm done with this.
Oh God.
Yeah, but I'm gonna try and find a guest for next week. It's been kind of rough picking with guests just because there's nothing really new coming out. So if there's nothing new coming out, nor is there like hardly any games I know that are anyone's testing or even trying out. It's kind of it's kind of stale. And so the best thing I can do right now is like find.
Let's get J-Bar. Let's see.
Let's see if we get J-Bar. I will definitely push for that. He's always down. He likes to get on and talk, and it, you know, helps him out as well. But if we do get him on, I 100% want to talk about this new headset.
You want to see what his? Yeah, because he has the hardware. Dude's got fucking hardware.
You
want
to hear about this headset that was made? You probably already heard about it. It's a sword
Pimax?
Game. No, it's a sword game. And if you die, it has 3 electric charges that blows your head up.
So, God, this again. I've heard of this. This is a purely an homage to an anime, if you've never watched it, called Sword Art Online, where if you died in the game, you died in real life. I don't know if you actually die in real life if you die. However, I don't think they can market a product that can literally kill you. I don't think it's true.
But hear me out. Hear me out.
Okay, okay.
Let's get all death row inmates.
Oh, my God. this motherfucker. Oh, God. You stick them all in VR headsets. They can't take them off. Lock them heads in it.
Yeah, well, they did that, so they made a game about that with the guy, from Gladiator. Not Gladiator, that was Russell Crowe. The other freaking, what movies was he? He was in, like, the Fallen Angel thing where he was, like, the president's security guard. It was the same guy of that, but he was in a movie to where you went to a room and it was pretty much everything around you was a game. And so you lock and load there. It's like you had pretty much your whole VR experience there. But you connected.
You were playing an actual human, right?
Yes, yes.
I know what you're talking about. I don't remember the movie, Dave.
Yes.
I know what you're talking about.
And but
there was a promiscuous scene in that movie, which was funny.
Yeah, and so there's a part where it's like they also had like an area that was kind of like 18 plus, and you can do all this crazy stuff with like with women and men. There's like this woman like talking, and you have this big 500-pound guy just like eating cheeseburgers and cheese is falling. He's like, yeah, just kiss me. I'm just like, oh, this is gross.
The movie is called Total Recall.
Yeah, Total Recall.
I think so.
No. Wait, it ain't Total Recall. That's an old movie with Arnold. Arnold.
That's a good movie too. But what? Oh no! Wait. I know we're going off topic here. We're supposed to be leaving.
Now we're stuck looking for this movie. So movie.
Oh God.
You play as an inmate.
Total Recall, a good movie. Oh no. If I could spell, it'd be great.
Alright. Let's see here. Oh, come on. If I can get the actor's name, it would make way more sense.
No, that's not it. What is it called? Oh, it's such a good movie.
It is a good movie. Everyone should watch it.
This is upsetting.
And we're just trying to find this.
We're playing on our phones, trying to find it.
Yeah, playing on our phone, trying to figure this out. But yeah, anyways, just imagine that. So like, even like another movie they kind of messed with inmates was the car one where they run into each other's cars and it's called Death Race.
That's a good movie.
VR as an inmate. I don't know. I'll have to look it up because I don't know if I'll be able to find it.
Speaking of prison movies, Longest Yard, good movie. God.
Also, there's a new show out where she is messing with new VR technology, and she like goes into the future through her neuro things, and she goes into a robot. It's pretty good. It's
on, what?
Yeah, it's on a.
Yeah, I'm excited for the new movie of Avatar.
New Avatar movie?
Yeah, they're making a new one. Avatar, where the guy turns into an alien when he gets in the little suit.
Oh, I thought you were talking about Airbender.
No.
Okay, no. I know what you're talking
about. The other
about.
Avatar. That Avatar looks amazing. I am excited to watch that.
Man, we're going to walk away just irritated that we could not find this. So the guy who is in it played in a movie called Fallen Angel, I thought. And that one has the guy that with the really iconic black voice, the one that's always in like documentaries and stuff.
All right, that's it. That's it. I give up. I'm throwing my phone. I'm not looking at it.
what's the guy with that does like documentaries?
Documentaries?
Yeah, he's got that really iconic.
You're talking about the guy that talks like this. No. The owls.
The fact that we are. Three for three, not knowing things.
No! Oh, man. Oh, I hate life. Well, I don't hate life. I hate my camera at the moment.
I'm losing my freaking mind.
I'm gonna unplug my camera and let it cool down before we do this podcast. Cause like, goddamn, it gets hot.
Okay, so the guy that was in it. Okay, I'm getting closer. Okay. I'm getting closer. The guy that was in it was Gerard Butler.
Okay. Just look up his movie cinematography.
So we're at Gerard Butler.
Yes, Butler.
So we're drilling it down. And so he was in like the movie called London Has Fallen, Olympus Has Fallen.
Yes, London Has Fallen. Yes.
Okay, and so the one that I'm thinking of, give me all your movies here. All right, freaking jeez Louise. I don't know. I give up. I'll look it up. So anyways, next Monday, same time as always, 9 p.m. East, 8 Central.
Heck yeah.
PST, what is that? 876 PST. I had to do a little math there. But other than that, I'll try and get J-Bar. If not, well, it'll just be either I try and find someone or just be us two again having a grand old time. Next Monday will be the Monday before Thanksgiving. So we might do like a little Thanksgiving theme something, talk about, you know, what we're thankful of, VR and, you know. And I also want to go more into talk about the VR headset that can kill you. You should definitely look it up more.
Yeah, I should look it up.
Yeah.
Get it for myself, you know. Just dude's crazy. Play games till I die, right?
Yep. So anyways, as a new co-host, you'll be seeing you on more every Monday. Unless you can't.
Hell yeah. You know what? I'm going to look this up in my off time so I can find out what movie it was for you. Don't worry.
I guarantee I'll find it before you, because I'm going to literally get off here and literally hunt it down because I'm so irritated I can't find it. So anyways, see you next Monday.
See you next Monday.
I'll try to get J-Bar. So
yes.
See you later, everybody.